intense, thrilling, electrifying sport on the planet. Mixed Martial Arts. You've been looking for the definitive podcast to call your new home to hear everything about it. The search is over. This is the MMA Knowledge Show. No filter. Bringing you the hottest MMA breakdowns straight from the heart of the octagon. This show is all about MMA breakdowns. For fans, by fans. We're talking UFC, MMA, and the occasional big boxing match. We'll bring our unique take on how these fights are going to play out and who we think are the best bets. Welcome to the MMA Anomaly Show. No filter. And now your hosts, Olin, a.k.a. MMA Anomaly.
What is up, fight fans? Welcome back to another episode of the MMA Anomaly Show, No Filter. I'm your host, Olin, and with me, not as always, it's a rare occasion, folks. I've got the one, the only, the legend, crossover MMA in the house, folks. How are we doing tonight, my friend?
Brother, I am doing amazing. I'm glad to be on the show with you. I appreciate you bringing me on and looking forward to getting it in, man.
Absolutely, man. We actually have a hell of a, I mean, in my opinion, we have a decent free card to break down. I feel like it's gotten a little bit of slack online, and that's okay. But either way, we're here to give you the P's and Q's and tell you who we possibly will be betting our hard-earned money on this week, folks. So with that being said, we're going to go ahead and jump into the first fight of the night, which is a women's strawweight bout between Vanessa Demopoulos and Talita Alencar. Crossover, since you're a special guest, I'm going to let you take the lead on this one. Tell the people who you see winning and how you see them getting it done.
So, man, in this matchup, I think we're seeing two mirror images of one another. Like, they're both pretty undersized for the weight class, always have to deal with a size advantage or disadvantage in their fights. And now they're fighting somebody their same size. Both are grapplers, you know, want to get it on the ground. They're both pretty much a fish out of water on the feet. But outside of that, really, the only real difference I see is I like Demopoulos' cardio a little bit better than what I've seen out of Alencar so far. So I'm going with Vanessa Demopoulos.
Man, it might end up being a boring show. I think we might end up being a hive mind if this is how it's starting out. I thought I'd be the only person that was on Vanessa here. I like Lil Monster, and I thought maybe it was because of my bias. And you know me. Like, we've had this conversation. When I meet somebody, when I have met somebody, I have a hell of a time trying to bet against them or pick against them for that matter. Vanessa, I've had the pleasure of meeting not once, not twice, but three times. All three times, I've told her the same compliment. If I had one wish, it would be that I'd be able to bottle up her energy and just keep it with me in a jar. So that way I could bust it out whenever I'm feeling down. Because she has the most toxically good energy you'll ever see in a human being, man. And real quick, shout out Juice Man 562 in the chat, my guy.
Crossover anomaly. Always in the chat. Always in the chat.
Love seeing this man in the chat. Yeah, let us know who you have in these fights, my friend. We're intrigued to hear your takes also. So yeah, I'm not gonna add a whole lot of color on this because I think you did a really great job, to be honest. Like, I think it's a mirror image, right? Very, very similar styles, very similar power sets as well as weaknesses. And I think the only thing that's really kind of standing out between the two of them is that Vanessa Demopoulos, Little Monster, she has a little monster amount of cardio, bro. And I think she's going to put it on Talita early, look to tire her out with the grappling, even if she's not able to get takedowns. We've seen her fail on takedowns and push and bully people into the wall, into the cage. I think this is going to be more of the same. And shout out Sav Jelly in the chat.
Sav Jelly, good to see you here, Sav.
We see you. We see you out here working on a new doll with a magnet set up in the hand. I don't know who it is, but I don't know. I feel like maybe you're going to put a magnet in the hand and a magnet on the shorts, and maybe it's going to be a little Dustin Poirier shorts grabbing action. I don't know. I'm speculating. I know it's a surprise. Not sure if you saw that, but she's cooking. And also, she made a Melky's Ale doll last week after his win, and he actually paid her to ship it to him so he could give it to his kid.
That's cool.
That's sick, yeah? She told me that, and I was like, bro, that's so cool. Like, knowing that, like, these fighters that we love, like, you made something for them, and he's gifting it to his kid. Like, that's so sick, bro.
Exactly.
So yeah, shout out Sav Jelly. If you're not already on that, make sure you're following Sav Jelly, SavJelly on Instagram and other platforms. With that being said, we move into the complete opposite, right? We're going from women's strawweight to men's heavyweight. We're talking big boys here. We have Martin Budai coming in against Uran Satyabaldiev.
Good effort.
Do you know a better way to pronounce that? Am I off here?
I have no problem going with that, brother. I have no problem.
Okay. We're just going to call him Iran.
We don't have to say that name again.
We're just going to call him US. So we got Martin Budai coming in against US. US is coming in at 9-0 here, folks. We'll just call him by his nickname, all right? Because his nickname is Gorilla. He kind of looks like Worldby, right? He's wearing a similar hat in his picture on Tapology. His face is kind of busted up like Oralby's was in the last one. Shout out Andrew Nance. What's up, man? Hope you're having a great night. Love seeing you in the chat as well. He's 9-0. 67% of his wins. So six of them have came by way of knockout. One by way of submission. Two by way of decision. And, he looks like an absolute beast. It looks like he's going to be very hard to bet against here. The heavyweight Oralby. And Martin Budai has been a little bit up and down for me, right? We know he was originally supposed to fight a different opponent in this night. He was supposed to fight Kennedy in Zechikwu, but that fight got canned, and here we are. He had a decision win over an aging and on his way out the door, Andrei Arlovsky. That was his most recent win. And then before then, he got housed by Shamil O'Neal. Shamil O'Neal's
the blob, Gaziev.
The blob. Bro, he is the blob, right? Like, he just absorbs everything and just keeps rolling forward. He's disgusting in the best way for MMA. Before then, his wins were over Jake Collier, who, if you remember him, he had abs at one point at middleweight. Mm-hmm. Yep. My guy, cultured. You know exactly, bro. You've been watching for a while, too. Mm-hmm. So, like, yep. We've seen him, and then we've seen the evolution of him. Like, he went up as what's his face? He went up, too. I was going to say Rumble Johnson, but he was going up, too. He just did it in a much healthier way, right? Anyways, Jake Collier, not the strongest heavyweight in the world. Probably should have stuck around middleweight or light heavyweight at the least. For me, all that to say, Budai's wins are not that impressive to me at all. And the man standing across from him aren't short notice. I think it's going to be like a man versus a gorilla, just like his nickname states. I think he's going to go out there and maul this man. We're going to have a brand new heavyweight to really start paying attention to. Cross, what do you think?
So going into the original matchup, I thought Kennedy would do bad things on Martin Budai. But now, you know, seeing the short notice replacement, this guy's undefeated, 9-0. I think he was the champion in LFA, if I remember correctly. But you know, Martin Budai, he's one of those guys, I guess, just hanging on to stay in the UFC. I feel like if this division had some more bodies, he probably wouldn't even be in the UFC. I mean, his only wins are, I think, like Lucas Brzezinski. That he might not even have a win over anybody still in the UFC. I know you got it up over there, but
still rostered.
I don't think he has a win over anybody.
No, but I know.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm definitely with you, man. I'm going with the guy from Kyrgyzstan.
Actually, he does have a decision win over Chris Barnett.
Chris Barnett. Yep.
Chris Barnett is still rostered. I love Chris, bro. He's so fun.
Yeah. So God, undersized, though.
God, he's so undersized.
So undersized.
It's like when you see him on Instagram, you're like, oh, he about to tear some people up, bro. Like how fast he is, how slick he is, how quick he is. And then you see him standing like at the weigh-ins and you're like, oh, my God, he's going to die. Mm-hmm. Like he's so small. Yeah.
So small. Like he could be like a welterweight, bro.
Honestly. Bro,
yeah,
he needs to do the reverse Jake Collier. Straight up.
So needs to do the guy at middleweight. It used to be a heavyweight.
Oh, Jared Cannonier.
Jared Cannonier. Yeah, that's what he needs
to do. Yeah, he needs to get on that Jared Cannonier diet, bro. Every time I see Jared Cannonier is like Chito Vera, and the fact that every time I see him, he looks like a different human being. He's a nomad of a dude. he's so interesting because, again, every time he changes weight class, I feel like he looks like a different animal, bro. And he like he changes his hair. He changes his facial hair, too. So I feel like he's like almost committing to the bit. Undersized is polite. He's tiny, but not. Yes. Oh, man. All right. So with that being said, we're not betting on Badai.
No.
and we move forward.
Absolutely not.
are there DraftKings odds on this? Let's see. There are no odds on this. Unless they have it shifted down the card. So, no odds on this. Very interesting.
Yeah, that's what I was seeing too before we got on.
I'm intrigued to see what the opening odds are for that on fight day. With that being said, we move into the bantamweight division for a bout between Victor Henry and Pedro Falcao. I gotta say, Victor Henry, God, why can't I think of his name? He's a singer. I think he plays guitar. He's like from the 80s. I'm going to let you do your breakdown. I'm going to find out exactly who's on my mind right now because he looks just like him.
Got you. But yeah, in this fight, man, Victor Henry, you know, I feel like we've been seeing him for a while in the UFC. Very well-rounded, good everywhere the fight goes. He's not really a big finisher, but the guy's just solid everywhere. I think Falco is making his UFC debut it's the second fight in the UFC. He's coming off of a loss to Victor Hugo. But I just like how well-rounded Victor Henry is, and I'm going with Victor Henry.
I hate that I cannot believe I can't remember who this guy is. It's going to eat me up tonight, bro. Victor Henry looks just like him. Like right after we wrap the show, it's going to pop in my head.
The show.
Yep. As soon as we wrap up, the second I hit the end stream button, I'm going to be like, it was that guy. Mm-hmm. That's always the case, but I digress. Pedro Falcao and Victor Henry is an interesting matchup. 32 years of age versus 37 years of age. The biggest differentiator here is the 2 inches, right? Of reach, right? There is only 1 inch separating these gentlemen when it comes to height. Wow, I said gentlemen right as I noticed Lazy Bet's comment come up that said gentlemen. Hey, here's my guy.
Lazy, what's up, brother? Good to see you in here.
Good stuff. Very smoky. So as I was saying, Victor Henry has 2 inches of reach on him, and we've seen Victor Henry go out there and do bad things to strong people. I think we see more of the same here, man. I truly do. What is this, man? You guys would like in the granite. He would make a good third opinion right now. Invite him to the show. Tell him we'll have him on.
We'd love absolutely. To
have him on. The more the merrier here, man. We're always looking to grow. Rising tide lifts all ships.
Appreciate that, Sniff. Just let them know. We can definitely have them on. Yeah.
So, yeah, La Mangosta, right? He is a monster. And he has exactly what we were saying about Vanessa Demopoulos, right, Cross? He has relentless cardio. The way he's able to mix it up, too, like, I make the joke, like, he's really good at mixing the martial arts. He's really good at mixing the freaking martial arts, right? Like, the way he goes up top and then shoots a double leg. It's like a young Rashad out there. So I like him to get this one done. And the inexperience of his opponent worries me a little bit, right? Like 16 wins to 24 wins, that's a pretty large discrepancy. And it'd be one thing if it was like 24 wins and 15 losses, but he only has 3 more losses than his opponent. He's got 10 more wins than him. So, or 8 more wins than him for that matter. So, I mean, That's a lot of discrepancy as far as experience, and the age gap isn't enough to validify putting anything on Pedro, in my opinion. And there's a reason that as of right now, Pedro is a +170 underdog. So if you feel comfortable betting on him, go ahead. I think you'd probably be safer betting on the +220 odds of under 2.5 rounds right now. Victor could be live to go out there and get a finish. But also, if I'm being honest with you, I'm likely going to stay away from this one from a betting standpoint. I don't like any of the lines on this one, just like I didn't on the Vanessa Demopoulos card. I mean, Vanessa at minus 108, I'll be honest, kind of break even odds. I might go sprinkle like a half unit on that. Why not? I feel like that'll hit fairly confidently, and it's kind of a value position there. So with that being said, we can move on into the next fight. Going back to women's strawweight, a lot of action for the women this week, which I'm not mad at. Let's give a round of applause for the women.
Bro, the women Sterling fights have be been good the last few weeks, bro. For real. Bro,
the women fights have saved the cards sometimes.
Yes.
In the last few months. Like, these women fights have been going hard.
All the finishes. Yeah.
Yeah. Keith Peterson needs to be arrested. Should have been a DQ. Didn't even take a point. MMA guru in the house tonight. What up, MMA guru? Hope you're having a great night, my friend. Hopefully my mom gets me some crossover merch for Christmas. I hope so. It's the best merch in the game. I hope so.
She needs at least 30 of everything, brother. 30 of everything.
30 of everything. 30 of everything. WMMA is the GOAT. I agree. I definitely agree. Lane, good evening. Good evening to you, Lane. Hope you're having a fantastic night.
What's going on, Lane?
Let's see. So, let's see. Luma Lukbun Mi, my friend. I'm going to let you take the lead on this women's strawweight bout. It is Estela Nunez versus Luma Lukbun Mi, 29 years of age versus 32 years of age. Crossover is going to give you the P's and Q's from here.
Yeah, so, you know, Luma Lukbun Mi, traditional Muay Thai style, like some of the best striking you will see in women's MMA. Like, it's very enjoyable to watch. Estela Nunez, I think this is pretty much a favorable matchup for Luma. I mean, she's 1-4 in her last five. Still looking for her first win in the UFC. So, I mean, I think this is just, I really like Luma Lukbun Mi. I think the teeps to the body, the low kicks are just going to add up, and she's just going to outstrike Estela Nunez.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think the style that she brings, the low kicks, the kicks in general of Luma Lukbun Mi, she's just going to make it very, very hard for Estela to close the distance. I think she's going to eat that body up early. That Muay Thai style is just going to present a lot of problems. And it's funny, right? Like, she's the younger girl, but she's got three more wins under her belt. She has the higher level experience, in my humble opinion. So, yeah, I wholeheartedly think Luma Lukbun Mi is going to go out there and make this a very, very impressive performance. And as Gambit would say,
you know how long I've been waiting for this? Ooh, I'm about to make a name for myself here.
I think that's going to be Luma Lukbun Mi's night. I think she might end up getting a performance of the night out there against Estela Nunez. And
I like the sound of that.
I'm telling you, man, I like this girl. I think she's got a lot of skill, and her stepping into this fight on short notice, right? Should be a fun one, or it's a replacement fight for that matter. We move into the next fight in the welterweight division. It is about between Reese McKee and Daniel Frunza. Reese McKee coming in at 29 years of age, the man across from him, 30 years of age, 6'2" versus 6'1". And the big difference here, the elephant in the room, is a 5-inch reach advantage for Reese McKee. I think this is the most sizable advantage Reese McKee's ever had in the UFC. And that's likely on account to him, for the most part, taking short notice fights, right? He has been a very, very diligent company man. He takes the short notice fight opportunities whenever he has to. The guy's nickname is Skeletor for a reason, right? When he's actually able to be Skeletor and cut to the weight class that he typically fights in, he does really well. Most of his losses come when he's going up and fighting up a weight class on short notice against like a Chidi and Chukwani or an Angelusa. So I actually like Reese McKee in this one. And this will definitely be the first time I'll end up betting on Reese McKee, I think. You can get him right now at plus 130 odds. Stylistically, I think he stacks up really well. Again, he's kind of a knockout artist at this weight class. He has 10 wins via knockout. 77% of all of his wins have come by way of knockout. So, yeah, I like him here. I think he gets it done inside the distance too. What are you thinking, Cross?
Yeah, first looking at this matchup, I saw the difference in reach, and I was like, oh, that's going to be a problem for Frunza making his UFC debut. You know, just like you said, Reese McKee's definitely a company guy. It's his second stint in the UFC. Still looking for his first win in the UFC. You know, he's a knockout artist, but Daniel Frunza as well is a knockout artist. I think if I'm mistaken, in like 11 fights, he's got 10 knockouts. I mean, 8 knockouts. So, you know, McKee does get hit a lot. And in my opinion, I don't think he does the best job at trying to like fight at range and use long range attacks. And he definitely gets hit a lot. I think he's definitely a live dog in this spot, but I'm going to go with Daniel Frunza.
Definitely not somebody you'll be putting on your dog picks this week.
No.
I have a feeling. I don't know why I have a feeling I know who your dog of the week is, though.
Really?
Yeah. I've got a sneaking suspicion. We'll talk.
Okay.
Off the air after the show, we'll talk about it.
Yeah. Bro, the competition is like so fierce in that group, dog.
It's fierce. And the only reason I think I know who you're going to pick is because it's who I'm going to pick. Or it's who I'm leaning towards right now. And I feel like you and me have landed on the same dog of the week like
several times
when we've hit. Yep. So, and I feel like, knock on wood, like this is a live one to hit. So with that being said, we'll go ahead and move on into the next fight taking place in the women's flyweight division between Deanna Belbita and Deanna Barbosa. Deanna and Deanna. Sometimes I feel like the matchmakers are bored when they come up with these. They're like, hey, they have similar sounding names. Let's make them fight each other. They do the same thing with nicknames. We've seen that happen so many times. So I'm going to let you take the lead on this bout because I took the lead on the last one. But this is a very, very intriguing one from an experience standpoint.
Yeah, I definitely know what you mean. Especially with Barbosa being such a huge favorite. I know some people definitely want to sprinkle some money on Belbita for sure. Definitely know that. But I really think Barbosa is just going to get it done. I mean, I think I like the grappling, the submission ability, and I think I got a sneaky suspicion she might get it done by sub.
Yeah, man. I agree with you. I think she could definitely get it done by sub. She's only 28 years of age. She, again, reach advantage, 1.5 inches, not nearly as much as the 5 inches. Like, that's a little bit wild. Hey, shout out. We have the real Lane in the building. We had a fake Lane in the building earlier, I believe. So, yeah. What up? What up, boys? What up, girls? We hope you're having a great night. Lazy Bed, he had a really good comment that I missed. Hold on. Belbita shells and cheese because she's cooked. That's a good one, my friend. Yeah, that's a good one. And then Dixon Sider said Reese McKee is the Irish AJ Cunningham. Yeah, it's fair. I actually hate the accuracy of that. I was trying to think of a comeback. I got nothing. So we move back into Deanna Belbita and how she's probably going to get this done by submission. I think she's the slightly slicker fighter. I don't know, man. This is one that I'm staying away from a betting perspective. Deanna Belbita is plus 650 right now. So, like, if you want to burn some money in the dumpster, maybe throw something away there. But probably not. I would just stay away from this one. I think she has a chance to get it done, but her opponent has more paths to victory, even though there's a reach deficit and she has less fights. Deanna is just someone that is, what's his name? Dontell Mays. She's the women's flyweight Dontell Mays for me, because no matter if I bet on her or against her, I'm going to lose. So I'm not betting on this fight. Dixon Sider said the entire world is on Barbosa inside the distance. Imagine the books got to her and paid her to go to a decision. 95% of the MMA betting community going to lose their shirt. I'm glad you spelled it like that. Just be careful picking a specific method here. Yeah, you're right. I'm not betting anything on this one. And I mean, at minus 1,000, I'm staying away from Barbosa. And I'm staying away from Belbita no matter how much I like cheese. With that being said, we move on into one of my favorite fights of the entire evening, folks. It is a bantamweight bout between Dangerous Davey Grant and Daniel Santos. My guy. You have a 39-year-old Davey Grant. I like to think of him as like a fine wine or a fine whiskey, right? Because the older he gets, the more fun he seemingly gets to watch. Just like the older whiskey gets, the better it gets to drink, right? He's 39 years of age, but he's the gift that keeps on giving. He also, again, this is going to be the story of the night here, folks. Bit of a reach discrepancy. 2 inches. If you're giving Davey a reach advantage, I hope you pack the lunch, kid. I hope you pack the lunch. The way that he extends on the jab, it's nasty with it, right? And he follows up with such nasty things. Lethal Sugar. You might be speaking my language, brother. You might be preaching to the choir, my boy. Ends in split decision plus 370. Dixon Cider.
That's a smart little play right there.
That's not a bad one, bro.
Yeah.
That's not a bad one. I also don't like the under 2.5 at plus 154 right now. Or just taking Davey Grant at money line at plus 124. There might be like 3 or 4 sprinkles on this fight alone this week, folks. I'm not going to lie to you all. With that being said, I'm taking Davey Grant. If I had to guess, gun to my head, how it finishes, I think it's going to be a crispy 1-2 down the pipe, possibly followed up by a 5. Little lead uppercut, cheeky. And down goes the big man. The lights go out in Georgia. What do you think happens, man?
So this is my vote for potential fight of the night right here. I think this is going to be fireworks. You know, Davey Grant using that footwork, staying on the outside, circling. And I think Daniel Santos is just going to be that stalking him down, Muay Thai style, coming forward. And it's just going to create a phenomenal fight. A lot of action. But I'm with you, man. I like the experience of Davey Grant. He still looks like he is still, like, got it all there. He hasn't slowed down at all. And, you know, all the wars he's been in, all the experience of, like, how to, like, eke out those tough, close fights. And, yeah, I'm going with Davey Grant.
I think he's the guy to go with, man. Jumping in the chat real quick. Let's see here. Banana peel pricing. Yeah, I agree. Belbita got armbarred by Meatball Molly. Come on, Skip.
Facts.
Lakers in 5.
Oh, man. Grant, let's go, Andrew. You already know what's up. Dog of the week. We got that one. Ends in split decision. Love that call. Could go either way. I don't want to pick a side. But overs for me. Oh, man. That's tough. I can't follow you down that path, Dix. I'd rather just take my guy at plus money because the over is minus 200 right now. Mm. With that being said, we'll go on and move on into the main card, my friend. And it's starting off with a bang of a fight, a banger of a fight, if you will. It is a middleweight bout between Torres Finney coming in against Robert Valentine. If you have not seen Torres Finney, do yourself a favor and get upset with why you don't look this way. Because this man is peak male performance, okay? He's just like jacked city, bro. 10-0. Dude is an absolute manimal, right? Tell us who you see winning this fight and tell us why it's probably Torres Finney.
I mean, first off, Torres Finney looks like the juggernaut in real life, dude, but just short. Like, no neck, all traps, shoulders, just massive, bro. But, you know, like, he always gives up so much size in all of his fights because he's so short. But I think, actually, in this fight, he has, like, a 2-inch reach advantage, which was wild. But for me in this, man, Finney's just going to have to get this fight to the ground, use control, ground and pound over Valentin. And I think he can do that. So I'm going to go with Torres Finney, the only guy in Dana White's Contender Series history to have 3 wins. Torres, juggernaut, little juggernaut Finney.
What a guy, dude. What a freaking guy. He's such a beast. He's so scary. Yeah, I'm going the same way. I think he's got to get this to the ground. I think he's got to negate that reach disadvantage because his opponent's long and strong. He's down to get the friction on, right? He's going to try and pop him out with the jab. But Robzilla Valentine, you know, he's not got the strongest strikes. He's only had 3 knockouts in his career. I don't think he'll be able to put it on our guy Finney. So, yeah. Give me the man, the myth, the legend. Give me Torres Finney. And I hope he cuts a huge promo on the mic like he did after his last win in Dana White's Contender Series. That was a fantastic one. Speaking of fantastic ones, Andrew coming in here. Sass crying, Brony flying, LeBron ain't lying. Lakers in 5. Lakers
in 5. You can have hard, you can have hard, you can get a garden. Lakers in 5.
I literally added those just for Cross. So happy that the next episode or one of the next episodes was literally with you. Hey, Blanca's back in the chat. How you doing, Blanca from Chile, right? I believe it was Chile she's from. Hope it's a beautiful night out there in Chile. Dixon saying, Torres' decision for me. Everyone thinks he's going to murk Rob, which he can, but I think he's going to drag this out to a decision. Biggest step up in competition in his career. UFC debut points to a decision for me. Yeah, I completely agree. Much love from Chile. Hey, much love from San Diego, California. Sav in the chat. Always love seeing you here as well. Nobody going to care about his post-fight promo because he's going to kill everyone's inside the distance tickets. I mean, not if we, don't bet on him inside the distance. You're making a compelling point to bet on the over in this one, right? Hell, you can get the over 1.5 for minus 160. That's not bad. Over 1.5 is like almost guaranteed if you think it's going to go decision, my friend. So, yeah, I'm actually liking that one.
I can see that. I can see that going to decision. I was just going to say, I can see that going to decision. Just because, Finney didn't even get a finish in his last Dana White Contender Series fight. So
get the contract.
He could face a little adversity here, but, I think he will get it done, though. I definitely would like for him to get it done. It's a great story, man, you know?
Absolutely, it's a great story, man. I think it's a fantastic story. And, yeah, I don't think he gets a finish in this one. I think he's going to get a dominant performance, but I don't think it's going to be a finish for him. And even if it is a finish, I think it'll be something that he has to grind out later in the fight. I don't think it'll be an early finish. So that over 1.5 is kind of calling to me. Let's see here. Da, 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 da. Dixon, please be respectful. That's what my coworker says. What does that mean? Dixon, come on now. What did you even say? I'm going to have to Google that. Gonna have to Google that and see what that means, my friend. Robert Valentin is a barbarian. Became a fan of him and Tough. Juice Man, me too. I do remember him from Tough. He's the one that went outside and like slept outside before the fight and like had like the Viking rocks and stuff, like did all the ancient traditions. He seems like a cool cat. I enjoy him. So speaking of somebody else I enjoy, fun fact, last time I saw Vanessa Demopoulos in person, I met this young man as well. And he is a flyweight fighter named O'Day Osborne coming in here against Luis Guerrero. This fight is interesting. And again, we've talked about this offline, right? We've talked about this offline. Everybody's O this year is seemingly got to go this year. We got two gentlemen, not one, but two gentlemen on this fight card that are 10-0, right? So that alone is interesting to me. And then we have another gentleman that's 9-0 in, I'm just going to call him US because I'm not trying to say that name again. So we have 3 undefeated fighters on this card alone. Is this another one where we're going to see multiple O's go, Cross?
I don't think so right here. I think Garulo's just going to keep that momentum. I mean, O'Day Osborne, if I'm not mistaken, he's lost like 3 fights in a row. He's definitely fighting to keep his contract and to stay in the UFC for sure. So I think he's definitely going to come out trying to fight with a sense of urgency. And I know he also has a bit of a reach advantage. Like, actually, it's a 9-inch reach advantage. My bad. Sorry about that. But that can definitely be a problem. Yeah. The 9-inch reach advantage is definitely tough in a fight. But I don't know. The momentum that Ode Osborne's been on, I just can't get behind it. Even though he could have been robbed in the Ronaldo Rodriguez fight.
Sorry, I forgot Murphy also has an O. So we have 4 undefeated fighters on this card.
Okay.
Main event, Lerone Murphy.
That's right. Didn't he have a draw or no contest as well?
He had a draw. That's why I wasn't counting him. But technically, he hasn't been beat.
True.
Oh, is it Goo Rule? All right, Dixon, I'm going to follow your lead here. Goo Rule. And there we go. So, Sav Jelly said Ode was robbed. I'm assuming that she's talking about in his, last fight?
At the Sphere.
Lazy Boy. I agree. I thought he won that fight. And then we saw what happened to Lazy Boy in his last fight, right? Fighter most at risk of losing his O is Murphy, but I don't think that happens. All right, Lazy Bed. We feel you. I'm not mad at that call out. Look, I'm with you, man. I think Gurul keeps the O here. He seems like a really strong, dominant kind of fighter. Grim is a great nickname for him because that's what he presents, right? He has 50% of his wins coming by way of knockout, 40% of them coming by way of decision, and 10% of them coming by way of submission. Last 3 were a unanimous decision, a split decision, and an arm triangle choke in round number 4. So he also knows how to fight later into the distance. He's been into these 5-round fights before, back in Fury FC. So, I mean, this is definitely someone to look at. And I mean, is this not somebody that you've seen in person? I know you've gone to a lot of these Fury fights, yeah?
It absolutely is, brother. And the guy is good everywhere. I mean, the only hesitation I have in this fight is the reach advantage. That is the big elephant in the room, as you said earlier in another fight. But, a 9-inch reach advantage, I think early in the fight, that could give him some problems, and then he can figure out ways to get inside. And then once he starts to touch Ode Osborne a little bit, I think he can get control of the fight.
At +215, I'm not going to lie to you. Your boy's probably going to sprinkle a little bit on Ode. Okay, Dixon. So, yeah, you definitely didn't say anything about Rice, my friend. Maybe don't listen to your buddies that are misleading you. I've been there, especially when it comes to people teaching you another language. Got to check out that Duolingo, man. with that being said, my bet is on Ode, but I'm just going to sprinkle a tiny little bit, maybe like a half unit. Might even look at some other props for him. But again, I do think the reach advantage, 73 inches against 64 inches, is wildly massive, bro.
Yes.
That's a half an arm. Like that. I mean, that's a unit. You know what I'm saying? So, I like Ode Osborne in this one. We're going to change the subject in the chat. Dixon Sider. How do you see this one going for Luis Gurul? And as you type that up, we'll move on into the next fight. Middleweight fight between Brad Tavares coming in against GM3, Gerald Meerschaert. Dude, virtually identical matchup here as far as age and tenure, right? Mm-hmm. These guys have both been in here for a long time. They're both wily veterans. I warned you guys I'm going to be like a little bit of a broken record tonight, right? A little bit of a broken record here. So you're not going to believe me when I say there's a bit of a reach discrepancy in this fight. there's a bit of a reach discrepancy because 74 inches to 77.5, that's a 3.5-inch reach advantage for Gerald Meerschaert, who is going to look to take his opponent down early, keep him on the mat, and try and control him. Brad Tavares, on the other hand, going to look to go out there and probably get a grindy decision. Maybe try and pop out some leg kicks early to take the sting out of those takedowns and blast doubles and singles. With all due respect, I'm kind of feeling the dog in this one. Are you going to talk me off the ledge? Because, I mean, +164 for a GM3 with this kind of reach advantage, it's feeling pretty sweet. And I don't know if you know, but he also went back to his OG gym. And he has Bilal training with him in his corner.
I did not know that, but I definitely feel you on GM3 being a live dog here for sure. My only, just like you said, Mirchard is a grappler, got 29 submission wins on his record. Guy definitely wants to get the fight to the ground. My only issue with that, though, is his takedown accuracy is only 35%. And on the flip side, Brad Tavares' takedown defense is 81%. So I think the matchup of those two things is going to let this fight play out on the feet. And I definitely think Tavares, the better striker. He is a bit of a decision merchant, but I think he's going to be a little bit faster than GM3 on the feet and get the job done.
All right. I'm not mad at it, man. I actually like Brad Tavares a lot. I think he's a very underrated fighter. He's never, I don't feel like he's ever said no to anybody. And the only thing that worries me is exactly what Juiceman562 just said, right? Gerald is a little bit chinny. We've seen it in the past, but I think this is a good matchup for him because Brad Tavares does not have that one shot power, right? True. We've seen that. Brad is the death by a thousand bee stings or death by a thousand paper cuts. So who the fuck is GM3? Gerald Mearshart the third, brother. Got to rock with the thirds, man. Come on. God, I'm realizing there might be a little bit of bias there as well. Fuck me.
Now it's coming out. Now it's all coming out.
I just actually put two and two together, or rather two and one together to make three. You come for the good jokes. You stay for the bad jokes. It's a fact, folks. With that being said, while I am torn and somewhat sitting on the fence now at this point, rethinking every decision I've made about that fight, we'll go ahead and move into the next one, which takes place in the bantamweight division between Cortavious Romeus, or as my guy S-Dogs MMA Talk likes to call him, Contagious Rumors. Let's go. And he's coming in here against Lee Chang Ho, right? So this is going to be an interesting fight. I'm going to let you take the lead on this one since I did on the last one. But this is one I'll be honest with you. I've gone back and forth on all week.
So first off, before I get into it, I actually just got my first super chat ever on the channel from Carlos Madera. Finally got super chats. Yes, sir, brother. Shout out to you. I appreciate it. Really appreciate that big time. But then going back to the fight, you know, Cortavious Rumors, as our buddy S-Dog would say, is the guy's kind of, in his UFC debut, didn't really kind of got, I don't think he was up to the level a little bit, because the Dana White Contender Series, he won by decision and he just grappled his way, but it just used control time. And then when he got into the UFC, he couldn't really do that. And that's why Bolanos gave him that loss. Now, Chung Ho Lee, the guy averages over 3 takedowns per 15 minutes. So he's definitely going to be looking to wrestle, get the fight to the ground. He only has 30% takedown accuracy, though, so that can only tell you he shoots a lot of takedowns if he gets 3 per 15 minutes. And I just think at some point he's going to get the fight to the ground, use some ground and pound, soften up Cortavious, and get the job done.
Yeah, I'm actually not mad at that pick, man. And I feel like it makes sense, right? He is a slight favorite at minus 130. This is one I probably won't be betting on. I do like Cortavious Romeus. I think he has a nice style about him. The way that he flows is really, really different. But his opponent has more experience and better experience. Or not more experience, right? They have about the same level of fights. But I would say that he's fought better opponents, and he's also proven himself a little bit more. You look at their last rolling five, you got a 3-2 fighter versus a 4-1 fighter. And that 4-1 fighter, I think, is going to keep that ball rolling in every way, shape, and form on Saturday night. I don't think he gets it done inside the distance, though. I could see him just dominating, getting on top, pushing his opponent up against the cage, landing some knees in the clinch, and just really dictating the pace of the fight, leading the dance, mm-hmm. so to say. I don't think this is going to be the most exciting fight of the night. I don't think it's going to win either man a ton of new fans.
Yep.
But I think Chung Ho Lee is going to come out there and get a second paycheck on Saturday evening.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it all boils down to.
Yeah, I just could see like Cortavious just accepting being held up against the cage. If he gets taken down, I don't see him really trying to scramble to get back to his feet and just accepting the position. That's kind of what it looked like in his last fight when it happened. And I think that's just going to carry over. Once that film's out there and a grappler knows that about you, they're just going to go after it. And I think that's just what Lee and his team are going to go in there and get done.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. With that being said, only got two left, folks. We've only got two left. We have the co-main event of the evening between Pat Sabatini in the featherweight division coming in against Joe Anderson Brito, 34 years of age, coming in against 30 years of age. Pat Sabatini is the older man. Again, this is a situation of good matchmaking, right? These men both have very, very similar tenure and strengths, in my opinion. The biggest difference here is when it comes to what Joe Anderson Brito brings to the table, I think he brings a little bit more power to the table than his his opponent, Pat Sabatini, right? Sabatini is a little bit more of a, I'm going to grind you, I'm going to tire you out, I'm going to, for lack of better words, systematically drown you, right? Whereas Joe Anderson Brito, Toraballo, he's out here trying to just throw shots and throw caution to the wind when he throws these shots. People like to use the term throw everything but the kitchen sink. This is one man that I know throws everything and the kitchen sink. Pat Sabatini has to get this to the ground early on if he wants to get anything done in this fight. His path to victory is an early onslaught of takedowns. And again, shooting for the legs early, tying the legs up, or if he can't get a takedown successfully, looking to chain wrestle, dominantly push his opponent against the cage, and again, try and weaken the legs if he can't get him down early. Start going to the leg kicks, attack low, go high, make him feint his hands up, and then shoot, right? You've got to change the levels in order to make him not understand which level you're going for. Now, across from him, though, Joe Anderson Brito, again, like I said, man's going to bring the knockout punches, the knockout power. But what's crazy about him is, like, when I ask you, hey, what would you think of if you think of Joe Anderson Brito? For me, it's power. Like, I don't know if it's the same for you. Fair? Power, right? But he has more submissions than knockouts.
Yeah.
And that's wild to me.
I was waiting on that.
That's wild as hell to me. But again, it comes to power. You go back and you watch tape on him, the submission form isn't even perfect half the time. But he's just squeezing on him. And they're like, okay, nope, don't want to do this anymore. I'm done. He's so strong. He's so strong. So with that being said, I'll stop glazing long enough to say Pat Sabatini, I think, goes out there and gets his sixth loss professionally going in against Joe Anderson Brito. I just think that Tubarão is going to go out there and get it done. Lane said, shoot the box is second only to the nerds. Brito for the win. I love that. Fight should not go the distance. Hammer that line. Yeah, I agree, Dixon. I definitely agree. Brito versus Sabatini. Sabatini. That's funny as hell. Oh, man. I like Cortavious and the BJJ advantage. Okay. I'm not mad at that either. That's why I said, like, I'll probably stay away from betting on that one. Sabatini has had more CFFC grappling matches in the last 3 years than UFC matches. How the hell does this man get a co-main event? Well, I said it was a good card. I said it was a good free card. I didn't say it was the right stacking of the card, right? I would have probably stack ranked it a little bit differently, folks, if I'm being honest with you here. With that being said, Cross, tell the people who you got in this one.
I'm thinking like you, man. I'm going Joe Anderson Brito here. He's just more well-rounded. Pat Sabatini on the feet, he just does not just looks like a fish out of water. You can tell he wants to grapple, either get on your back standing or get the fight to the ground. But on the flip side, man, you know, Joannis and Brito has 73% takedown defense. Pat Sabatini's takedown, I mean, they both land over three takedowns per 15 minutes, but Pat Sabatini's average is only 44%. So I think the mixture of those two, Joannis and Brito having the power on the feet, actually liking to grapple himself, he's a legit submission threat, as you already stated. I just think he's more well-rounded, and I'm going with Joannis and Brito.
And are you doing any betting on this card at all? Are you going to be betting on this fight or no?
I'm not doing any betting on this card because I'm not even. I hopefully I'll get a chance to watch all of it, but we shall see.
Possible plans to miss a UFC card? Sacrilege, bro.
Yeah, bro. It's a buddy of mine's bachelor party weekend. So what?
Oh,
what
okay. All right. Well, then that's not sacrilege. Because I mean, a drinking crossover is definitely a fun crossover. So I support. Fight Night Frankie, my guy.
Frankie, what's good, boys? Good to see you, brother.
What's good Frankie. To see you here, how we brother. Doing? I hope you're having a great night, man. Definitely here for the UT Chattanooga's finest, Torres Finney, to destroy Juice's favorite fighter, Valentin. Woo! Let's hear a Big Shotgun Sports. Tell us how you really feel. Lazy Bed, Big Frankie, you already know what it is. Dixon Sider said, Sabatini, cannon fodder for the UFC. Pretty obvious after they fed him to Diego Lopez. Where are you? However, that don't mean he can't pull a sub. Took a poke at the Suleyev stretch. Plus 20,000. Oh, my God.
What did you put on that? Like a dollar?
Just for you. Did you put like 50 cents on that? What'd you put on that, bro? Either way, good on you, bro. Good on you. Oh, man. With that being said, we'll move into the main event of the evening. Bruce, tell him what's up.
It's time
for a belt in the featherweight division between Josh Emmett and Lerone the Miracle Murphy. Man, oh man, a witch. This is another bout of an undefeated man, technically, because he only has a draw, no defeats. Cross, I'm going to let you take the lead on this one since I steamrolled through that last one. Tell the people who you see winning and tell the people how you see them getting it done.
So, you know, we know who both these guys are. Josh Emmett, former wrestler, turned striker, devastating power in both hands. One punch, legit KO power. Probably one of the most powerful 145ers ever. But on the flip side, you got Lerone Murphy, very well-rounded, strong in the clinch, good grappler. More of a decision merchant. But you know, very skilled, very good. Then you think about it, Josh Emmett's 40 years old, you know, Father Time's undefeated. Lerone Murphy's 33. He's looked really good. He did face a little adversity in his last fight against Dan Ige. And I think getting a taste of that adversity is probably going to lock him in for this training camp. And I think Lerone Murphy gets it done.
Man, I told you it was going to be a boring show. We only disagreed, I think, on like three of these damn fights, bro. Sorry, folks. That's why it's such a quick one, I think. This might be the quickest breakdown show I've ever had. We'll have to leave it open for questions and answers in the chat after this one. But look, I'm going to be honest with you, folks. This is a bit of a toss-up on paper, but I'm leaning towards Lerone Murphy by decision. I agree with you. He is a bit of a decision merchant. Let me tell you why I'm leaning towards him, though. Emmett's power, terrifying. There's no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. And he's a live underdog because one clean shot could end it. We've said the same thing about a Max Holloway versus an Ilya Topuria. It has to be a perfect 25-minute fight, right? But at 40, with a long layoff, he's facing a guy who's younger, faster, stronger, in his prime, and a little bit prettier. Murphy has also shown that he can handle pressure. Think of the Ige fight that you mentioned, right, Cross? And he can dominate with volume, think the Barboza fight. I think he uses his reach and his movement to stay safe. I think he ends up pushing the pace and slowing Emmett down and just ultimately picking him apart over the 25 minutes. I think he avoids the big bomb. But that being said, don't sleep on Emmett. Like I said, if he lands, this could be over very, very quickly. I see it going to unanimous decision, like a 49-46 and double 48-47, if I'm being honest with you, man.
Yeah, I think, Josh Emmett, with that kind of power, man, you never can count him out. He always has a chance. But yep. On the flip side, you know, the striking accuracy just isn't there. He only lands 38% of his punches. So, I mean, that for me, with the crazy power, I just think he's just those big overhands and the big wild hooks. I just think Lerone Murphy's just not going to be there to get caught.
And folks, if you want kind of break even odds, you can currently get Lerone Murphy to win by decision at -110. So again, if you put $50 on that, you get $95.45 back, right? So whatever your unit size is, to put it into perspective for you, you put one unit down, you get 1.9 units back. So you get a 0.9 unit profit on every one unit you put. Does that track? That
makes sense.
For those of you in the chat. Late night stream, Combat Sports today.
Combat Sports, good to see you in here, brother.
Let's go. Brother, it's a 5-round fight. We just started round 3. We're just getting started. Oh, love to see you here, man. Hope you're having a great night. Let's see here. Scrolling up through this chat real quick. How much do you all bet? I usually bet what I would put down at the casino around 150. For me, like, it depends, right? I'm not putting down 150 on each bet, obviously. That's why we talk in units. I don't like to disclose the exact number or dollar amount that I bet. That's why I say units, because of this. If your units that you're comfortable with are, as you put, $150, cool. Put $150 on every one unit that I do. If I'm saying a half unit, you do 75. For some people, a unit is a dollar. For some people, a unit is $5. For some people, it's 50, 100, 1,000. So I always say bet responsibly. Only bet with money that you are wholeheartedly ready to lose, especially if you are betting on mixed martial arts, because yes, it is a volatile sport, folks. It is extremely volatile. It is the most volatile sport to bet on. If you want to make money in betting, go bet on Premier League. Go bet on Nottingham Forest, specifically in Premier League. Or go bet on NFL, right? Like, last time I hit an 8-leg parlay, it was NFL. And it was nice payout.
Shout out to our brother Ola at the Fight Week show. He would definitely say Liverpool.
Liverpool. Let's go. Don't bet on Man United if they're playing against the boys at Nottingham Forest. You know what I'm saying? Because we had to beat them boys this week. Oh, man. That was a fun game to watch if you're a Nottingham fan. We had one of our regular players block a goal when our goalie missed the block. It was so incredible. Murphy decision for me, says Dixon Sider. However, I will undoubtedly be hedging Emmett KO decision double chance at the end of the night. Yeah, that's a money play for sure.
That makes sense.
Murphy decision is the play to go. And let's actually look at those double play odds here. So he said KO or decision, which makes sense, right? We're definitely not going to go by submission for Emmett. No offense. You get KO, TKO, DQ, or decision for him at +240 odds. So again, folks, you put one unit down on that, you get 3.4 back. $50 turns into $170 flat. Not bad at all. I'm liking where your head's at, Dixon. Good moves tonight, my guy. Lazy Bed. Emmett said at Media Day this week that he had been competing at 30% of his capabilities. Apparently, this long layoff was injury rehabbing. Wow. I mean, either that or he listened to one of Kamaru Usman's old interviews post-fight. That was only 30% of my power. Do you remember that interview?
I'm not really buying it. I do.
It's my least favorite Kamaru Usman moment in his entire career.
When is he going to fight again, by the way?
depending on how much you smoke tonight, he could fight in your dreams tonight. but other than that, I'm not really sure what to tell you. has he gone to that CBT or whatever it's called, that place in Mexico with the stem cells to fix his knees?
I don't know.
Is that step one? I think.
I don't know.
Carlos Madera, shout out to the super chatter. If Emmett can't get him out of there in the first, Murphy's got it by decision. I agree with you wholeheartedly, my guy. I think that might be the move. You know what? I wish we had a Jamie to pull these odds up, but I got us. Let's see here. Fight round props. I'm curious to see what the round one prop is on Josh Emmett. plus 1,500.
Oof.
Oh, man.
And I legit think that's the only way he wins as well.
Same. Yeah, if you put a half unit on that, it turns into 8 units. So, I might. Who did that? Who just talked me into that?
You might sprinkle. You might sprinkle.
Is that Carlos? Is that Carlos? You son of a gun, you. Well, when I hit,
definitely
I'll,
good call.
I'll be shouting you. I appreciate right it. There. I like it. I like it. I'm definitely not mad at it. Let's see. Could be a lot of talk. We'll find out come Saturday night. Holloway voice. I love that, Lazy Ben. Let's go. It is what it is. Let's go. Right here in the center, baby. Blanca. Let's go. She said Ilya versus Islam. I mean, if that's a fight that you're excited about, I'm excited about that fight. I think Islam probably does bad things to the guy, but I'd go to Spain for that. Carlos Madero says, no, yeah, not on a single bet overall. Okay. Dixon Sider said, Movlid Khabibov almost lost tonight as a minus 800 favorite. Won a split decision. No such thing as locks. Bro, can we give this man a freaking round of applause? Dixon spitting facts.
Hey, but if that fight had took place in the Middle East, it'd definitely be a lock.
Oh, yeah. Facts. As long as he lasts a decision. Mm-hmm. He may or may not also have gotten an IV if they were in the Middle East. We've seen it. So, plus 240 Emmett KO decision. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's a pretty solid one. That's what I'm seeing on DraftKings Sportsbooks as well. Lord of Pies, my guy. Hit him with the air horns.
Good to see him in here.
What's up, Crossover MMA, MMA Anomaly? Lord of Pies, my guy. Was loving your takes earlier, or was it the other day in the stream? Yeah, those were nice. Blanca, Henry Cejudo said that the one who decides if there is a fight between Islam and Ilya is Khabib. He is the head of the clan. He's not managed by the manager. He's managed by the eagle. Woo-hoo-hoo-wee. Yeah, I'm not mad at that. And I agree with that.
I understand.
I definitely see why, like, there's so much pushback on the Dagestani side of not wanting to do the fight, though. Like, I get it. Because if you remember, when Islam beat Alexander Volkanovski in the first fight, everybody's like, oh, it's a great fight, blah, blah, blah. But it was more so talking about how well Volk did in the fight. And then when he beat him again in the rematch, everybody's like, oh, he only beats up on 145ers. So I think that left a bad taste in Islam's mouth about allowing a guy to come up from 145 and people saying, oh, he's not beating true 155ers. So I get the pushback from that side.
Yeah, I definitely get the pushback, right? Like, you don't want to fight another 145er. It's the last thing you want to do. Henry Cejudo knows this because he's trained with them. Blanca, fun fact, I have also trained with them. I mean, not to the extent that Henry has, but... no, he definitely knows them better than me. But I also know that he's not an AKA guy, right? So he's not inside. But if you want a good laugh, look up the video of Khabib talking to Henry and saying the word Japan. It is one of the best videos you'll find on the internet. I do believe that, though. I think Khabib is the guy that makes the final decision. He's more of a manager than Ali Abdelaziz when it comes to Islam and in general. He's looking over him because, with all due respect, rest in peace, Abdulmanap Nurmagomedov. That was Abdulmanap's favorite fighter, and he told his own son that numerous times. Right, like it was a problem. It's why Khabib pushed himself so hard. His dad used to say he's going to be better than you. He's the best of us, and that's why he would say he's his favorite. So. He has this reasoning, like, to almost, like, it's like probably one of his dad's, like, dying wishes. Like, if I pass, you got to make sure this guy's in good place, which is another reason that probably weighed on him to retire so that Islam could take the belt. It was a very Mirab and Aljamain kind of situation, in my opinion. So, yeah, but when it comes to that fight, I'll be completely honest with you. I think it's a clash of styles. I think it's a clash of powers, but, I mean... A lot of people are saying it's going to be razor close if these two fight. But I disagree. I think it's going to be a fun fight for as long as it lasts. I don't think it'll be as close as people are anticipating. If anything, I'm leaning Islam Makhachev by submission within the first three rounds. Here's the logic behind it. Topuria's power is a massive threat. Like, he can shut the lights off on anybody, right? Like, the way that he lands these shots, they're just so quick and crisp. His boxing is so nasty. And it's very impressive considering he came into the UFC as a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu fighter. But yeah, I mean, with that, he can absolutely KO Makhachev if he keeps it standing early on. But Makhachev's wrestling is absolutely relentless. His sambo, his combat sambo style is, it's something that a lot of people haven't faced. He's taken down a lot better defenders than Topuria's faced. And his top game is soul crushing. It's relentless. It is just absolutely world breaking stuff. Topuria's Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu might stall a sub for a bit, for a moment, for a minute. But at the end of the day, Makhachev's control and pace are going to wear him out eventually. And by that 15th minute, by that third round, I think, with all due respect, Topuria is going to hopefully have packed a lunch because he's going to get taken out in that fight. Blanca says, Dustin Poirier said that in his retirement fight, he will face only legends, ruling out Paddy Pimblett and Nate Diaz. So maybe they will give it to a legend, Ilya. That's what I've been calling for, hun. I want to see him fight Dustin Poirier, Ilya Topuria in the New Orleans Superdome. I'll fly back home where I grew up, baby. We'll go to New Orleans. We'll watch the fight there. I'll see you at the top, my guy Cross. Rogue Strummer. Love that. That's a cool name. Doesn't surprise me, Carlos. Cejudo is a joke with short man's disease. I'd like to see Merab use him as bobblehead again.
Yeah, he's talking about when Cejudo got booed at UFC Mexico.
You all see Cejudo got booed at the Mexico card? Yeah, I did. I did. Yep. Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of people that are a fan of Cejudo. But hey, fun fact that you may not have heard. Did you know that Henry Cejudo has won an Olympic gold medal? It's crazy. I'd never heard of that. I'm kidding. That's the only thing he has going for him these days, that he continues to spam. That and the creepy pillows that he makes. Lazy Ben. Off topic, but PFL was fun tonight. Thad Jean versus Jason Jackson. Semifinal, gonna be a barn burner. Yeah, Jason Jackson's an absolute animal. I remember his sparring matches against Luke Rockhold whenever Luke first left AKA. Nasty stuff. Nasty stuff. What were your thoughts on that card, Cross?
It was fun. I mean, hey, you get some violence before the weekend. I mean, I'm good with it all, brother.
You and me both. I love a good skilled violence night, especially if it's not even on a Saturday. It's a school night, bro. We get it on a Thursday. We'd love to see it. Yeah, he had it coming, Carlos. I agree. And then Carlos said, agreed. Glad he got the hate. They should have deported him back to the US.
They're trying to secure the border.
Oh, man. Oh. So with that being said, that is the card. If there's any other topics that you guys have, I'm more than happy to get into them. Otherwise, there were a handful of fights that were announced. Do you want to run through any of those? Are there any that got you excited or hyped up?
This was UFC 316, 17, something like that. Kayla Harris and Juliana Pena in the co-main, and then Merab O'Malley in the main event.
That's a really, really fun one. We could definitely talk about those. There's another one that was announced about 4 hours ago. Not sure if you saw that one. For 317 on June 28th.
Who was it?
Well, I mean, it might be a little bit of breaking news. I don't know. I think maybe the only person that I've seen posted is Marcel Dorf and Latveriana MMA. So with that being said. That's right, folks. A little bit of breaking MMA news. So for UFC 317 on June 28th, Brandon Raw Dog Royval will be coming in against Manel Kopp. Cross, what are your initial thoughts on that fight? How do you see that one playing?
My initial thought when I saw the fight, because I just saw it like literally before we came on, was that, that this pretty much all but sews up Kai Kara-France getting the title shot against Pantoja. That's what I got from this matchup. But digging into the actual matchup, this is going to be a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Because Royval is high output, very fast, frantic pace. Manel Kopp got the footwork, really good striker. I think this fight is going to be a lot of fun. And it's a number one contender fight. I mean, the winner of this will be the guy at flyweight.
I 100% agree with that, man. And I honestly don't know who I side with in this one. I kind of like Royval on the early take here. I feel like in his last few fights, he's really, really impressed me with the growth that he's shown. Like, he still has the same style. He's still the same dude, right? But he's got skills, bro. I like watching this dude move. And yeah, the other fights that you mentioned, I think, are definitely ones that we should touch base on. So Bilal Muhammad versus Jack Della Maddalena. I mean, sorry. No, Juliana Pena. That's the one that we should talk about. Juliana Pena versus Kayla Harrison, right? What are your thoughts on this fight? Do you think it's going to be super competitive? Do you think it's going to be one-way traffic?
I think this fight is going to go one of two ways. It's either going to be very much one-way traffic for Kayla Harrison, or Juliana Pena from the Amanda Nunes one fight is going to show up, and it's just going to get beat up and just stay in Kayla Harrison's face, not go away, just continue to beat her. Because you can feel how you want about Juliana Pena. She is a dog. Like, it's just what it is. Like, you knock her down, doesn't matter. She's going to get back up, keep walking forward. But I just think Kayla Harrison, just the physicality and how strong and just physically imposing she is with those other ladies at 135 is just – It's just too much of an advantage for her. And I think she's just going to use some of those judo throws, and that top pressure is going to be too much for Juliana Pena.
Yeah, man, I'm with you. I think it has to go one of two ways, right? Like, Juliana Pena either comes and shows up and ruins everybody's parlay all over again, and it's like deja vu for me, and I'm not even going to bet on that fight. I just realized. I will bet on it. I'll do straight bets. But I'm not doing that on any parlays, because if you haven't heard the story, the worst night of my life as far as parlays was sprinkling just the tiniest of little bits on an 8-leg parlay. And the last leg was Juliana Pena versus Amanda Nunes to win. Moneyline. I threw it on there and it was like a fucking minus 1,000. I was like, fuck it.
No, you don't give me increased odds. Easy money. This is free money.
I literally was like, if these seven hit, this is going to be the least of my worries. Seventh one hit. My significant other looks over and she sees me all giddy, and I'm like, shit. And she's like, what's happening? And I'm like, I just hit the seventh leg of my 8-leg parlay. And she's like, what's the 8th leg? And I was like, Amanda Nunes, money line. And she's like, holy shit, tonight's going to be great. And then so that wrong. First cross
Famous
lands,
last words.
That first cross lands. And I remember her looking over and she goes, what the fuck is happening? What the fuck is happening right now? I'm like, baby, we're losing. What's happening right now? I don't know what else to say. We're losing.
It was like it was a bad dream that night. It kind of had a little bit of
brother.
The,
you are telling me.
Yeah, yeah. Like the vibe it kind of gave off was a little bit like Sean Strickland, Israel Adesanya. Like, you're literally watching. Like, what is happening?
No, in he got so many pity. Ways, Carlos. In so many ways. It was only like $45,000 that I would have won on the 8-leg parlay. No big deal.
I know that hurt. Oh,
no big deal. Off of $5. Yeah, it was 40. It was like $44,850 off of $5. And that was leg 8. And my stomach hurts just thinking about it right now. If I'm being completely honest with you. No, Carlos, she's nice. I didn't get the couch, but I had my own side of the bed. Oh, man. It was, as Foghorn Leghorn would say, it was the best of times. I say it was the worst of times. And with that, I feel like we got to talk about the real fight here, right? Because I'm with you wholeheartedly. I don't have a whole lot to add to that. I think Juliana Pena either ruins everyone's night or she goes up there and just takes the slump, right? She gets taken down. Mm-hmm. She gets dominated. She gets smothered. hand on the nose, skin fucking like trying to fucking breathe. And it's tough. But the fight that we're all excited about is a man that I love to make the what the cuck joke about, like, right? But he stepped up on a big way here. He's fighting a guy that nobody wants to fight, that's ranked significantly lower than him. Ian Garry versus the one, the only, the cigarette smoking Carlos Prates. This is a nasty fight.
Yeah, for sure. We know Carlos Prates is exciting. He's going to bring it. My only issue with this fight is for Ian Garry to win, he's going to have to make this an ugly, unentertaining fight, get in a clinch. Like, because if he stays out at range with Prates, he's going to get picked apart. And at some point, I mean, early in Ian Garry's career, like, we saw him get clipped a few times in fights and get hurt badly. And Carlos Prates, he's not the one. And, you know, I just think Prates is going to definitely get it done in that fight. But, yo, big respect to Ian Garry taking this fight, though, because it is definitely a tough fight for sure.
Big respect, but definitely big regret, because this is not the way to go. Juice Man said, Pena shocks the world again. Let's go. Sprinkle Pena, man. Sprinkle Pena, man. You already know I'm down. I might have to. Yeah, I'm definitely thinking about it. He's not the right Carlos. Dana put me in.
Whoa, that was cool. All right, good job, champ.
That was nice, Carlos. That was real nice. Yeah, dude, I really, really like Carlos Prates in this one. If Carlos Madero was in there, I'd like him in this one too. Not because I dislike Ian Garry, but because I like both these other Carloses a whole lot, right? One of them gave you your first super chat, and the other one is one of my favorite fighters to watch currently. And let me tell you why. A lot of people think it's Carlos's kicks, his punches, his strikes in general, or the people that are a little bit maybe more casual, right? A little bit fresher to the sport. They really like seeing him drink whiskey and smoke cigarettes right after a fight. And I love whiskey. And, you know, I used to love cigarettes. There was definitely a time I loved those. But I digress. None of those are the coolest thing about the young man. Cross. The coolest thing about him is this. The coolest thing about him, the best thing about him, is his eyes. He sees things that other fighters simply don't see. The way that he was able to go out there and take out his last couple of opponents, he just has a keen eyesight that most people don't develop until much later in their career, much further in their tenure. And he has it at such an early time in his career, such an early tenure in his career, that I feel like he's destined for great things if he keeps up at this rate. Are the cigarettes and whiskey helping him? Probably not. Does it matter? Probably not. He is a cheat code, right? BJ Penn used to drink beer and then go fuck people up for fun. We know this, bro. We know this. And I think he's the second coming. I truly do. I think he goes out there and does bad things to Ian Garry. Hey, Blanca, cheers. Cheers. How do you say cheers in
Spanish?
In Spanish. In Espanol. I'm trying to decide if that's going to be the next language that I learn. Because right now I'm learning Japanese for my trip.
How's that going?
I got 100% today. Today's day two.
Duolingo?
Duolingo, yeah. I like that, yeah. It gamifies it. It makes me want to do it more. I've done I set it for 10 minutes and I did like 20 minutes yesterday and then I did like 15 today. So not bad. The second chapter is definitely a little bit harder on Japanese because they just like they're throwing shit at me like randomly. And I'm like, what the fuck did you say? It's kind of a guessing game to an extent, but I've decided that as soon as I get back from Japan, I'm going to start on another language. And right now I'm between Spanish and Portuguese. because the reason is literally for UFC, because I'd like to be able to understand the fighters. And there's a heavy set of them in Brazil. There's a heavy set of them in Mexico and in Chile and stuff like that. So for me, like, I'd love to be able to have people on the stream that don't need to have a translator, that I would be able to at least kind of bridge the gap to an extent. This is not Portuguese. Like, this is like a year down the line, but you know.
Yeah, I would definitely say Portuguese, because there's just so many Brazilian fighters.
Yeah, that's what I'm leaning towards. And I'll just have Blanca teach me Spanish. So salute to that. Salute, folks. Man, yeah, I feel like Gary's gonna get housed, bro.
Yes.
It's gonna be a tough one. It did give me a great idea for a new merch design.
Really? I was just going to say, I think MVP kind of showed that on the feet, Gary can definitely be had, because my MVP was touching Ian Gary up on the feet, and then, you know, he started resorted to all the grappling. And then even in the Shavkat fight, there, I felt like there just wasn't a lot of action in that fight. And then Ian Gary, towards the end of the fight, almost got the submission on Shavkat. But outside of that, I mean, on the feet, I think he can definitely be had by Carlos Prates.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think he could definitely be had on the feet by Prates. His only chance is going to be taking him down. And you got to think, like, my question to you would be, do you think Ian Machado Gary is as good of a grappler or half as good of a grappler as Caio Bahio? I would say not a chance.
No.
And that's the general... That's the general, bro. That's who he's rolling with for fun. Every Saturday, every Wednesday, he's rolling with that guy. At least like 3 to 5 rounds. I just don't think Gary's got a whole lot for him, man.
Very valid point right there.
Like, because that's the first thing I thought of was, oh, Gary could probably choke him out. Like, he looked really good in that fight against Shavkat specifically. He really shocked me. And I say that as a non-Gary fan, right? But again, he really, really surprised me in that fight. So then I started weighing the options, and I was like, okay, who does he train with? He trains with good guys. Who does Carlos train with? And then I was like, he trains with better guys, with all due respect.
Facts.
Because like I know you've got Damian Maia in your corner, and that's all great. That's all fine. But Damian Maia is not taking you down. Like, Damian Maia is a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu traditionalist. He does not have wrestling grappling. He has Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu grappling. This guy is going against a Caio, who's an animal, who will blast W to get you in a bad position. And then what are you going to do? And even if Ian learned a power blast double, good luck keeping him there, man. Because he's used to getting up from a guy that's like 20 pounds heavier than you.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting. And I think that mix of being able to train with a bigger guy that also is a grappler, When you face guys that want to try and grapple you, I think that's only going to make him better a lot faster.
Ian won't get off the stool after round one. He'll think he's watching from the corner. Holy shit. You think so, Carlos? That's tough, bro. Sheesh. Gary is young and improving, says Rogue Strummer. Faster than Prates for sure. Have to factor that in. So I definitely agree that he's really, really good. And he's the younger guy. He's improving, but I wouldn't say he's the faster guy than Prates at all. To me, in their fights, Prates looks so much faster and sharper.
Yes.
Like, specifically from a striking standpoint. With that being said, folks, we got to call it a night. So whether you're new here, old here, anywhere in between, do us a huge favor. If you haven't already done it by now, like the stream, right? Hit that thumbs up. Comment after the show, because it helps with the algorithm. Leave us a comment. Let us know what your favorite moment of the show was tonight. Let us know which fight you're looking forward to most, or let us know who you're betting heaviest on this card, right? At Crossover MMA, make sure you're subscribed over there. At MMA Anomaly, make sure you're subscribed over here. And if you do nothing that I've asked you to do just now, that's okay. All that I really, really care about, all that I really, really, truly ask people to do every single episode are these two things. Keep on going, and keep on growing, folks. And we look forward to seeing you in the chat next time. Later.
You've been listening to the MMA Anomaly Show. No filter. As you may have been able to tell, we dig the MMA, and our passion is to dive deep into the upcoming fights, give you our expert breakdowns, and help you make sense of all the chaos that is the fight game. We hope you've enjoyed the show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. We'll be back soon, but in the meantime, make sure to find us on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch at MMAnomaly. Be cool, and we'll see you next time.